Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. The Hera Club is a group of individuals who have way too much time on their hands, whom love to entertain other individuals who also have way too much time on their hands. Welcome your hosts, Nisa, Frosty, and Anna.
Hey members, it's me, Anna. So I just wanted to let you guys know that because of some health issues with our horror host, Nisa, we were not able to provide you with a full episode.
What the f*** is going on?
But hold on. Before you guys press the stop button, you guys will still be able to hear Nisa and Frosty on a pre-recorded interview with fantasy author Anita Valle during this episode. But before we get into that, we've got a few shout-outs to give to the folks who show us continued support. We want to start off with the Daily Cringe. Thanks for letting Nisa participate on your gaming channel. She had a lot of fun. And then we have Hydrate Level 4, where you get to check out Frosty's non-spoiler review with Peter on Doctor Strange, which I also want to mention. I finally listened to my first episode of We Got 5, and that was fun. So thanks, Peter, for keeping us entertained, along with Devin. That was a lot of fun. And that happened to be with our Halloween road trip. We have the Horribly Awkward Podcast. Thanks for listening to us since the beginning. Woohoo! And then we want to say a shout out to Via VHS Podcast for your on-air shout outs. And then we have the Lex Factor Show. Thanks for becoming our newest fan. Woohoo! And of course, we can't forget Jason Cox from the Cox News Podcast. You made us laugh on our Halloween road trip. That was a lot of fun. And we also want to give a big thank you to our 200th follower on Amino. Nia Boom. Sorry if it's a bit late, but we hope you enjoy our shows, especially when we get back to K-pop. We're going to do that here soon, but right now, break. And thanks everyone. We just want to say we love you, our very special Podern family. We want to thank everyone so much because we have been growing every episode and we've celebrated. If you want to show more support, dial our Rev line at 961-301-HARA. That's H-A-R-A. And give us a Hail Hara shout out. Oh, and then the full number is 961-301-4272. Now let's get into that interview with Anita Valle. Now, I wasn't a part of this interview because I was gone due to some scheduling and relocation. So Anita Valle is a freelance author and artist based in upstate New York. She has written several books for her published novella titled Malin, which in part of the Nine Princesses series, and the author of Sinful Cinderella, the first installment of the Dark Fairy Tale Queen series, which we reviewed in a previous episode. Now let's get into that interview.
Hello?
Hi, hello Anita.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
We're good, how are you?
I'm good.
Thank you so much for doing the interview with us today. I know it's like 3 p.m. It's like the middle of the afternoon for you, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's okay. Awesome. You know, it's Sunday. I'm not working, so
awesome.
It's fine.
We're super excited. Now, we usually have three hosts on our show, but at this time, it's only going to be myself and Frosty.
Okay.
So we were wondering, we do have fan questions for you, and then we have our own questions. At the end of that, we were wondering if you would be down for playing a game of Would You Rather?
Sure.
Okay. So we've done a review of your book on our show. We've read the book, Sinful Cinderella. I personally have read your the Nine Princesses novellas. But for our listeners that don't know who you are, go ahead and give a little introduction.
I live in New York, and as a hobby or part-time work, I write a series of young adult novels. Working on two series right now. One is the Dark Fairy Tale Queen series, which has Sinful Cinderella and Sneaky Snow White. And then I'm also working on The Nine Princesses, which is about a group of sisters who are princesses and the adventures that they have together.
Right. You are also an artist, too, as well, correct?
Yeah. I don't do all of the covers of my books. I did do Sinful Cinderella and Sneaky Snow White. For the Nine Princesses, I actually had someone do that art for me. I also have a children's book called Monster Manor, and I did the interior illustrations for it. So I do use my art a lot. And I often, you know, I often create memes or advertisements for my Facebook page. And so it helps me a lot, actually, to have that skill.
Nice. Awesome. And you wrote children's books. Is that because did you write it for your children? Because I understand you have three.
I do have three boys, who don't really read princess books. I just started doing it because it's just what I like to do. I love to read. I love to write. I love to draw. So, you know, I just did it because it's what I love to do.
So first we'll go ahead and get into some fan questions.
Okay.
Amber Lloyd is asking, will you be making any books after Rotten Rapunzel in the Dark Fairy Queen series?
Fairy Tale Queen series. I have, after Sneaky Snow White, there's going to be Rotten Rapunzel, and then it's going to be followed by Bad Beauty. And I'm not sure at this point if I'm going to need a fifth book. I may or may not, depending on what happens. So it's going to be 4 to 5 books. I'm going to shoot for 4.
Is Bad Beauty about Beauty and the Beast or Sleeping Beauty?
Oh, you'll have to find that out, won't you?
She's all greatly disappointed. All right. So next question is from Kitchen M4. When will the next Nine Princesses book be out?
I'm working on Lace, just having difficulty right now because they've been giving me extra hours at my job. And I, you know, they increase my hours for Christmas time. I'm going to try to cut back afterward. And so I try to write at night when I get home. But, you know, right now I don't have the writer's life where I can just wake up, get some coffee and sit at my computer. It's what I dream about.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have the same dream, only it's with the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Frosty and I are also writers.
Mm-hmm.
We have ADD though, so if we're not working and doing the podcast, we attempt to write, but
yeah. It's hard though, you know, writing is a mental workout.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. you can't just sit down and wing it. It's, you know, so sometimes, you know, sometimes I work until 6 and I get home as close to 7, and sometimes, you know, by the time I sit at the computer, you know, I had to put my kids to bed. Sometimes it's 9 or 10 o'clock, and sometimes I feel like, you know, I get maybe a paragraph done, and, you know, but sometimes you're just, your mind can't focus on it because you're tired, you know. It's so, you know, I try to write a lot on my days off, and I try to do at least a little bit each day, you know, even if I'm tired, I think, you know, just knock out a paragraph, get something done. So right, as to answer the question, Lace is probably not going to be out this year. I'm going to shoot for early next year. So I would like to get, for the Nine Princesses, I've been averaging like 1 a year. I would like to get 3 out a year, but I have to leave my job before I can do that.
So with the first book in the Nine Princesses series, Mei Lin is the first published book. Mm-hmm. How long did that actually take you? Because I know that in some of your facts on Goodreads, mm-hmm. it said that you gave up a couple times and then picked it up again. So how long did that actually take you?
When I first started thinking about the Nine Princesses and like drawing little sketches of what they would look like, I just turned 20, and I was thinking at first like picture books, you know, like children's picture books, you know, and drawing all the pictures. And then I had, you know, I had a lot of story ideas, and it was just becoming, they were becoming longer stories in my head. I thought, you know, I can't do this in a picture book. I need a longer story. So I just kept changing the kind of format, you know, because I started out just thinking picture books, and I thought maybe children's chapter books. And then later I was like, no, I think this is more like for young adults. Maybe I could do young adult novellas. So really it took, and then for a while I tried like getting them published through the regular, you know, traditionally published way. And that's a long and slow process. So it actually took me 10 years before I finally got Mei Lin, you know, out into the world. And, so, you know, but I was very happy that it finally got out there. A couple of times I thought, you know, it was just gonna, you know, always stay on my desk and never become anything.
Yeah.
So, you know,
that's amazing though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hard work in writing.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of perseverance, you know.
One of our questions was actually when you did publish your first book,
mm-hmm.
and your, of course, your other ones, mm-hmm. and you see reviews on them. Do you read all your reviews? And how are you dealing with like bad or good reviews?
I have learned to not read reviews. In the beginning, when I was like just first getting reviews, You know, I read every one because I wanted to see what people were thinking. And, but after a while, you know, I've run the gamut of, you know, some people love it and then some people criticize it and, you know, say things that I completely don't agree with. And the unfortunate thing is that, negative reviews tend to stick in your head more. And, so every now and then I'll just sort of, briefly, skim over the reviews, but usually I don't read them because, you know, sometimes words hurt, and even though everyone has a right to their opinion and, you know, I've read things and watched things that I don't like, you know, but, you know, it's when you write something, you're sharing kind of a part of your soul. And, when someone doesn't like it, it almost feels like a personal rejection, and you shouldn't take it personally, but you can't help it. You just do.
Yeah, no, we definitely understand. Like, we're waiting for the, we tend to avoid looking at our reviews most of the time just to, because we, on the podcast, we do a lot of different segments. We talk about different things. There's a lot of things we share about ourselves and a lot of things we do discuss that probably, you know, majority of people don't agree with. So.
Yeah. No, I found that of other authors, they recommend, they say, just don't read the reviews.
Yeah. Because, you put a lot of effort into a story. It's,
A lot
of time has gone into it. It's practically your child, so.
Yeah. No one wants their child criticized, you know?
Oh, exactly. You will defend it to the death. It's like, oh, yeah? Well, this is what I think about this. And this is why I did it that way. Deal with it.
No, once for the Nine Princesses, I saw someone say something like, the characters were poorly developed, and I was like, are you kidding me? They've been developed for 10 years. So, you know, that's why it's just better not to look sometimes, you know?
I really, this is actually a really big deal for me to have you on the show because I read that series probably like 2 years ago. Okay. And I never thought I would be running a podcast, and I never imagined that I would be able to speak to like one of like a writer that I really enjoyed each and every book, you know, you put out. I really enjoy them.
Oh, thank you so much. It's a big deal for me to hear that because, your family, of course, always supports you. But, you know, from a total stranger, it's nice to hear. And I appreciate it.
Awesome.
Yeah, she got a little nervous before we had you on. She's like, I have to do a nervous pee break.
I actually was nervous, too. I thought about eating some bananas because I heard that bananas will calm you down.
and you know, you are we have interviewed a previous author, but you are our first female interview.
Oh, cool.
So we're which is weird because we are an all female cast. But you are our first female interviewer.
Our first female guest.
So let's go ahead and get into our questions, Frosty, if you want to go ahead and start.
So my first question is actually, where do you get your ideas from? Like, why did you just decide fairy tale book characters? Was it because you enjoy fairy tales, or did somebody suggest it at first?
I've always just had a princess thing. I mentioned it in one of my books, but when I was like a little girl, 4 and 5, I told people, you know, in all seriousness that I was going to be a princess when I grew up. And I've always just had a fascination for them, you know, and I loved, you know, castles and fairy tales, and I would draw princesses. And so when I wanted to start writing stories, I thought, well, I want to write princess stories because that's what I like. So, and the reason there ended up being 9 was that I just wanted to have as many princesses as possible and cover, you know, different kinds of girls and different looks and different gowns. You know, I used to, you know, I spent a long time designing the princesses' appearances, and, you know, and it was just fun, you know. But yeah, I always just loved princesses, loved fairy tales, loved Cinderella. And so, you know, they say write what you love, so I write what I love.
Now with the newer series, you did definitely target a more mature audience.
Yeah. You know, that was just one of those things that kind of came out of the blue. Cause I was just, you know, the Nine Princesses really is, where my heart is. It's what I like the most. I saw a trend in dark fairy tales when I would browse through books on Amazon, And also, you know, I've watched a number of Cinderella movies over the years, and that question always was in my head. Like, you know, I said, I don't think she would be that nice,
yeah,
given that she's mistreated by everybody and has no one on her side. And so that was always just, you know, that always just sort of ran through my head. And then when I saw this trend in dark fairy tales, I thought, you know, it would be cool to do a Cinderella, to show one that doesn't rise above the mistreatment, one that kind of sinks beneath it, you know? So that's where that came from.
And that was definitely one of the reasons why I liked Sinful Cinderella so much, was because I'm like, oh, she took the story, but she twisted it, you know? And it was just like, that's what made it like so enjoyable. I haven't read the Snow White one yet, but it's definitely on my list, and I am eager to see how you're going to change that one up as well.
I have read it, though.
I know. She hasn't spoiled it for me, luckily. I've been trying to get it out of her, but she hasn't.
I'm just letting you know now that the fairy godmother, she plays the role in the second book as well. And
oh, she does?
Yes, and I wanted to know, is she making an appearance in all the rest of the series?
Yeah, I plan to have her show up in every one, because she was a character that's been well-received, and I just think, and I have a place for her in all the books, yes, definitely.
And that's really cool, is because, like, this story ties all together with each and every story that's told in the series.
Yeah, they're going to get more challenging as I go on, because, like, you know, the first book was really just Cinderella with a little bit of Snow White thrown in, you know, at the end there. Mm-hmm. And then the second book, you know, I'm blending Snow White and Cinderella. You know, the third book, I'm blending Cinderella, Snow White, and Rapunzel. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they get a little more complex each time.
I'm really looking forward to that. I really enjoyed the Nine Princess series, but I really like that you were able to do a darker, more mature story. So I'm kind of thinking, are you interested in doing like a full adult, like full adult erotic book?
Probably not erotica. It's not something I'm comfortable with. I try to keep all of my stuff readable for you know, for young people.
Okay.
So yeah.
But more like of a dark fantasy.
Dark fantasy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry that it is kind of challenging to connect all those stories, but those are actually my favorite, when all the universes are the same, or the universe is the same for all the stories. Like, I know Stephen King always talks about how all his stories are in the same universe, and I'm just like, oh my God, I have another author that does that too. This is so great.
Yeah, and they also do that on the Once Upon a Time show.
Oh, I love that show.
Yeah.
Are you caught up already?
I think, are they playing a new season yet?
Yeah, the new season's on now.
No, we'll probably catch it on Netflix, like, after it's over. Because we watch it as a whole family, and so we just finished the last one that was on Netflix.
Who is your favorite character, though?
Captain Hook.
Yes. Everybody picks Hook.
Yeah, I love Captain Hook.
Who wouldn't want him? I like Charming.
Captain Hook.
I like Hook. He's definitely an eye catcher, but everybody wants Hook. I like Charming.
Yeah, and Charming is nice, but he's kind of a pretty boy. You know what I mean? I just like how Captain Hook just has that, you know, that bad side to him, and he's rugged and wears all black leather. You know?
Charming is too vanilla for me.
Yeah.
So what's your writing process like? Like, do you just get an idea and then immediately start writing the story, or do you have to like do one of those like spider web things where you have to get a character, list five of their qualities, and then like an action?
Well, usually I have a you know, general idea for the story, and I don't do a point by point outline, because I like a little bit of wiggle room, you know, because sometimes while you're writing you get ideas as you go along. But I do have to know what's going to happen at the end, because that's what, you know, your whole story is leading towards. So before I start writing it, I do have to know, you know, okay, what's the story about and what's going to happen at the end. And beyond that, I give myself some freedom, you know, and I sometimes will write an outline for the first few chapters. But after that, I kind of just let it go on its own and just see where it takes me. I do plan qualities for the characters. You know, I'll try to write down, you know, some things that they like, some things that they don't like, and also what does this character want? Because I've heard that the most important thing when you're writing a story is to establish what the character wants. Mm-hmm. So I have to know that before I start. And generally, I don't write the whole story from beginning to end in one big, long, sloppy draft. I can't do it that way. I usually write like one or two chapters, and then I kind of tinker with it and make it nice and neat. And then when I feel like I have two good chapters, then I can write another one. So usually by the time I get to the end of the book, most of it is already pretty polished, because I like to polish as I go. And then when I'm done, I don't feel like I have this big mess to deal with.
That sounds like my writing style. Like, I like to write chapter, I almost like to write chapter by chapter, or at least a full chapter at a time, and then going back and like repolishing it.
Yeah.
So I can go to the next one.
Right. Because when you feel like you have a good foundation, then you can build, you know, move onward.
Mm-hmm. My writing process is more like a jigsaw puzzle. Like, I mean, I'll do what you do where you'll, you know, you want to know what's going on in the beginning, and then you have to lead to the end. But sometimes I'll like write something that happens in the middle before I get to like an important part that happens in the beginning.
Right.
It's just all like crazy. Like right. Nisa before has tried to read some of my stuff, and then she's like, what the heck is this? Like, I don't write, this hasn't even happened yet, and you're referring to something that hasn't even been written yet. I don't know what this is.
Well, I have done things like that, and then every now and then, just sometimes a scene just comes into your head very vividly.
Yeah.
And so, in that case, I will just, you know, I will just write it down so that I have it there ready, you know, and I have, like, a special file where I'll keep, I kind of call it, like, random writings, you know, just, you know, when you just need to get someone's, because you'll lose it, you know, you'll forget it, so. You know, if you have a conversation or a description, it's just, you know, write it down so that you don't forget it, and then you save it for when it comes up, you know.
Yeah, that's exactly how it happens with me. Like, I'll be like, oh wait, this is cool. This is gonna lead up to something later.
Mm-hmm.
So that's awesome that you do that too. Because I was like, worried it was just me.
Yeah, no.
Have you ever gone any like literary pilgrimages to get more inspiration for your stories?
I'm trying to think. I have to say, not really. I haven't traveled much, and it's not easy for me. I mean, sometimes, you know, if I need a, you know, description of the sunset, whatever, you know, I'll look at one while I'm driving home and think about, well, how would I describe it? You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, okay.
But no, I haven't specifically gone to a place.
No castles.
I would love to.
How did publishing your first book change the process of your writing? Was there anything that was different? Did something change?
I guess, first of all, it put on me that pressure to, you know, get out the next book, you know, because I wasn't just writing for myself now. Now I have, you know, even if it's small, I have an audience and they want the next book. So I've been trying to find ways to write a little faster, more efficiently, because I am a perfectionist, and I can spend an hour on one paragraph.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I will, you know, everything that I read out loud to myself, and, you know, and just sort of tweak things as I go. Cause reading out loud really brings things out that you just don't notice when you read it silently. And, but sometimes I really just get too bogged down with, you know, trying the sentence with, you know, the words this way or trying it with that way. And then I can't decide. And sometimes I think, you know, this is you can't spend 10 years writing this, you know, just pick something and move on, you know?
Yeah. Synonyms are always a problem for me, because it's like, you cannot just write make love like 17 times. It's
right.
Like, no, you have to figure out fancy ways of saying it.
And try not to use the same word, you know, same word twice in a paragraph. And
mm-hmm.
And also with the Nine Princesses, most of my characters, like, you know, say 90% of the characters are female. So often I'll have a paragraph, I'll have the word she, and I'll think, oh, you know, I have to, you know, mention which she I'm referring to, you know, and sometimes I had to, you know, rearrange things so that you don't have sort of a, what do they call it, a dangling modifier, or, you know.
So do you find it hard to write for male characters as well, or is it just like easy? Is it easy as doing a female character?
I'm okay with writing a male character. I have a whole the children's book that I did, which was Monster Manor, was a boy protagonist, and I'm okay with it. I usually just try to think of someone that I like, you know, a man that I worked with or a man that was in my family, and I'll think, you know, I'm gonna just try to have him say things the way this person would say them, And so, yeah, I'm generally, I mean, obviously I could say I'm more comfortable writing female because that's what I am, but I'm okay with the guys.
How many unpublished or like half finished books do you have?
Not many. Most of my projects I've brought to light. There is one, like a children's ghost story that I wrote a few chapters of once and that I haven't finished. And every now and then I think about resurrecting that. And then there was another fairy tale that I was writing once about three princesses, like, and that had a lot of more fantasy element to it. And I haven't really used, that's probably not going to come to light, but I've pulled elements from it and put it into my other books.
Well, we can ask questions so your audience knows you a little bit better. I noticed that you did say you enjoy BBC movies and Colin Firth. So are you a Pride and Prejudice fan?
Yes. we have it. We have it on DVD. Yeah.
The old BBC one. Do you own the newer one too?
The one with Keira Knightley.
Yeah.
I don't own that one. I thought that one was just okay.
Yeah. I felt the same way. I liked the look.
I didn't like the Mr. Darcy in that one. When he was walking towards her in the field, I was just like, you have no body. Like, you are not
Colin Firth could have done this job yet again for like, this movie. Yeah.
I'm like, you're too approachable for me, sir.
Yeah.
Are you excited for the new Bridget Jones movie?
I am, yes, actually. I just watched the Bridget Jones movies. I had never seen them except for small parts. So yeah, I you know, particularly for Colin Firth. Yeah, I watched the two movies and I'll watch the next one, and they're fun. Yeah. And I guess I didn't care so much for Keira Knightley as Elizabeth. Cause I like Keira Knightley, but I always just see Keira Knightley. You know what I mean? Like she didn't become Elizabeth for me.
Yeah, I thought she was a little too skinny to be Elizabeth. Like, she's not my idea for Elizabeth. Did you happen to see Pride and Prejudice and Zombies?
I didn't. I was actually, I was watching the trailers when that came out. Was it good? Did you see it?
Yeah, we did see it. The Mr. Darcy in that is pretty cute. he was actually, like, a better... I'm not going to say he's better than Colin Firth, because nobody can be better than Colin Firth, but he was definitely better than the one in the one with Keira Knightley. I thought Knightley, he was way better.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite underappreciated novel?
That would be Emily of New Moon, which is written by the same author as Anne of Green Gables.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a nice series, and I've always enjoyed it, and it's not really known or spoken about that much.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I unfortunately have not heard of that one, but I have heard of Anne of Green Gables, so
yeah,
you have to check that one out. Is there any advice that you have for other aspiring writers?
Just to, you know, write what you love. Don't try to impress. Just make it something that's, you know, fun to read. And, you know, get all the help you can. That's something I have an issue with because, you know, editors are expensive and copywriters are expensive. And, you know, sometimes I struggle with just finding a person to just read a draft for me, you know. So, you know, get all the support that you can. And but also, you know, I mean, I guess it sounds cliche, but, you know, have fun with it. I really stressed out before I released Malin, thinking, you know, oh gosh, you know, is it right? Are people going to like it? Are they not going to like it? And then this thought just ran through my head that it's just a story, you know, and it is, you know, it is important, but don't stress out so much about it that it stops being fun. You know, it's the story. It's enjoyable. Make sure it's enjoyable for you.
Well, if you definitely ever need somebody to read a draft of your story, I'm pretty sure Niza is psyched to do it. So if you ever run into that issue,
okay,
please call her. She will be totally down. Like, she's like jumping up and down in her seat right now.
Okay, so let's go ahead and get into our Would You Rather game.
Okay.
Okay, so the first question is, would you rather only interact with males or only interact with females?
Oh, males. I like the guys. They're fun.
I think we feel the same. Like, we're more of tomboys, so...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sometimes you hang out with too many girls and you're just like, all right, I need to leave now before I start a fight.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm not a tomboy. I'm a girly girl, but I do like the guys.
Well, I'm pretty sure working in retail, I've worked retail before for another big company.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the girls that will work there are just people I don't associate with.
Yeah.
Okay, so would you rather meet your idol or be popular in a school setting? Or, like, popular...
In a social setting.
In a social setting, yeah.
Probably meet my idol.
Who is your idol?
You know, I had a feeling that was coming. I think it would be Tom Hiddleston right now.
Oh, yes! Yes!
Frosty is a huge Tom Hiddleston fan.
Yeah, are you excited for Thor Ragnarok?
Yes, definitely. I love
Loki. Yeah,
and also Loki. I want to see it for Halloween. I want to see Crimson Peak, which is a
yes. Oh my god. Yeah, I went to go see that one with Niza, and that sex scene, man, I was like jumping up out of my chair. I'm like, yes, yes, yes.
You see shirtless Tom Hiddleston in that.
I shouted out loud when
she just needs to know that he's shirtless.
I did shout out something during a scene in the middle of the theater, and everybody laughed.
Oh.
Next question. Would you rather never have to eat again or never have to sleep again?
Oh my gosh. I would rather never have to sleep again, because then I can get more work done.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay. Always get first dibs or always get the last laugh?
Always get the last laugh. Much more satisfying.
Be 10% more attractive or be 10% more intelligent?
I'm going to be shallow here and say be 10% more attractive.
We would choose the same.
Let her sinful Cinderella come out.
We did do the review of Sinful Cinderella on our episode 14.
Yep.
And we did talk a lot about how we really, truly enjoyed the fact that Cinderella was not this prissy goody-goody, and she actually had an agenda.
Yeah, so we do say nice things about you if you would like to listen to that review.
Okay, because I watched the 2015 Cinderella movie, you know, with Lily James.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful, and the colors in it are just beautiful. But when I was watching it, I remember thinking, oh my gosh, she's just so nice.
Yeah. You know?
Like, she was just over the top nice in that. And so, yeah, that was
definitely
inspiration. Have you actually checked out this is totally off topic where we got but have you ever checked out the Beauty and the Beast, the French film? It came out, I think, probably 2 years ago.
No, I haven't. Is it like an independent film?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Frosty's going to look it up right now, but it's a really good retelling of Beauty and the Beast.
Okay.
It's got this one guy in it who's in a lot of American movies.
Is it in French? Like, is it subtitled?
Yeah, it's subtitled in French. Oh, yeah, his name is Vincent Castle. That's what it is.
Okay. Vincent Castle?
Castle or something like that.
I don't know. I sometimes watch Spanish novellas with the subtitles because I've been trying to learn Spanish for a few years. So, yeah, so I'm okay with subtitled movies.
Yeah, we love subtitled movies. We're big into K-dramas and stuff. Yeah, so it came out in 2014, and it's just called Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, okay. I'll look it up.
Yeah, it's really good.
And then it's Vincent with Cassel, so I'm assuming Cassel.
Cassel, okay.
All right, so next question. Be the worst player on the best team or be the best player on a good team?
Be the best player on a good team.
Big fish, small pond.
Yeah, Be tall and really skinny or be buff and really short?
Well, I am tall and really skinny, so.
Really?
How
tall are you?
I'm 5'9".
Oh, wow. You are taller than me.
I'm 5'.
I am 5'7".
Oh, that's a good height, though. It's hard for me to buy pants because everything is like 2 inches too short.
Oh.
Have dinner with the president or have dinner with your favorite celebrity?
Oh, definitely favorite celebrity.
Yeah. No, nobody wants to have dinner.
Who wants to have dinner with the president?
especially next year.
I don't care who it is. No, thank you.
Tom Hiddleston, please.
Tom Hiddleston, yes.
Oh, man. Live in your favorite video game or live in your favorite movie?
Live in my favorite movie, which would probably be like a 19th century, you know, high society kind of movie.
Yeah. We love those. You know, every time...
Downton Abbey?
Yes.
Yes.
Are you excited for who's going to be playing the Beast in Beauty and the Beast?
Yes, I am. I am, yeah. I'm very excited for that movie. And yeah. I think Emma Watson was a good choice. And I'm looking forward to it.
We're looking forward to Luke Evans playing Gaston.
Yeah. Well, because, you know, Luke Evans, he's gay, so I'm kind of wondering if they're going to let him have his little buddy sidekick as kind of like his lover, because I'm all about that BL life.
It's a Disney movie, Frosty. It's probably
hey, I don't know. Hey, Timon and Pumbaa.
They might hint at it, though.
So. Yes. Oh, I don't think Gaston could be. I mean, he's supposed to be interested in Belle, right?
Yeah.
Well, it could be a cover.
Spells his beard.
Yeah.
Terrible. Okay. Be homeless but genuinely happy, or have a nice house but be depressed all the time.
No, that's a hard one. I guess homeless and happy, but I saw a Facebook meme once that said something like, I know that money can't buy you happiness, but I'd rather do my crying in a Porsche.
I think we also believe in that as well. Be famous in a movie or be on a popular TV show?
You know, I think just once I'd like to be in a movie. Like just once in my lifetime, star in a movie. You know, scratch that off the bucket list. That'd be fun. I don't think I have acting skills, but if I did, I would enjoy that.
All right. So last question. Mm-hmm. Be your pet for a day, or have your pet be a human for a day?
Be my pet for a day. My cat sleeps all day.
Now you sleep.
Yeah, now I sleep.
All right. So that is it for our questions and our game. Was there anything that you wanted to say to your fans before we ended the interview?
Just want to say hello and thanks for all the support. When I'm feeling a little discouraged, I will go and click on the 5-star reviews on Amazon just to read the positive things that people are saying. And it does give me a boost. I'm very happy when I receive an email from someone saying they like my books. And just say thank you. Thank you for the support.
Yeah. Now, we're definitely, this. Hopefully, we can have you on again at another time to join sure. us. So we sure. can talk more about your other books that will be coming.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, once I get caught up.
Yeah. I think it's caught up. I'm the only one that's caught up, and I'm eagerly awaiting the rest of the books to come out.
Thank you. Okay.
All right. Thank you again, Anita, for joining us.
You're welcome. Thanks so much for having me.
You're very welcome.
Enjoy Crimson Peak.
Thank you. I will.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye now.
The Hera Club is now partnered with Lyft. Use their promo code, The Hera Club. That's THEHARACLUB. For a fun, dependable, and memorable ride, by using their code, you could receive up to $50 in credit. So why don't you get lifted, as opposed to something else?
Yay! The girls did a great job interviewing Anita, and it sounds like there will be a couple books I'll need to catch up on before we have her on again. Well, guys, sadly, that's all we have for this week. Aww. Remember to please subscribe to our podcast via iTunes, Google Music, and any mobile podcasting app. You can now subscribe to our YouTube channel for gaming videos, uncut interviews, skits, and soon makeup reviews, which I still have to do. And we'll be back next week with our normal program. Oh, and don't forget, Hail Hera!
At this time, we would like to thank you for your membership to the Hera Club. Make sure to show your support through their Facebook page, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. Like, comment, and share, because they just rub. And if you really hated your time with them today, well, sorry. They're just not sorry.
There's a little girl in Skibbereen with flowing hair and ragged jeans, and floating in a vivid dream as classes go by. And every day at 3 o'clock, she's out the door and down the block, and hurries to the river dock with a gleam in her eyes. And everything's fine for the day. There's nothing to get in the way of her smiling. There's never a care for tomorrow, 'cause Molly's a princess today. Oh, la 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 castle wall, 47 miles tall. The river's got a waterfall, the moat is so deep. The cedar trees are canopies, a ceiling made of needle leaves. A buzzing fleet of honeybees are guarding the keep. No one can take this away. It's locked in her mind and can never escape. And there's never a care for tomorrow, 'cause Molly's a princess today. Oh, la 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 la, la 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 la. And cold when your heart grows up and gets old. The dreams of your past never quite seem to last in a future that's so far away. But here in this place, you know, Molly. Is a princess today. In a little while it's dinner time, she leaves the kingdom in her mind. A bookmark and the storyline, the chapter is done. The mystery of what will be tomorrow when the clock strikes three. There beneath the cedar tree, the princess will come. And there's nothing that she couldn't do when she closes her eyes and imagines the view. And there's never a care for tomorrow, 'cause Molly's a princess today. Yeah, well, there's never a care for tomorrow, 'cause Molly's a princess today. Oh, yeah.